Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I am the one and only. I just love when my crowd does that. Woo! I feel like Julius Caesar coming into the studio. They like, woo, Caesar. Anyway, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure. It is Friday, and it is the 12th of September. And I am drinking tea, so I'm probably going to laugh my head off. And my producer told me, Don, please don't drink that tea. You know how you act. I said, I know. Anyway, listen, if you want to reach me, you can reach me by email at McClureDonS@yahoo.com or Don, D-O-N-S, dot McClure at AOL.com or DonSMcClure@DSMPublications. I got a heck of a lot of emails, and I say that every week. My website for my books is www.dsmpublications.net, where you will find all of my books, and especially my new book, I Love Writing a Fun Love Story. And somebody asked me, was that about me? I said, sort of. The Don S. McClure Show is the best lifestyle show on the World Wide Web. We come on every Friday from 7 p.m. Central to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. That's New York time, 5 p.m. in Pacific, 6 p.m. Mountain, Arizona. We play the best music and information for your enjoyment. Talk, music, views, art, information, and more for 1 hour and 30 minutes. And it zooms by. We are up to 17,650 listeners. And, man, I am tearing the United States up, Canada, Germany. I mean, man, can you imagine them saying my name in Puerto Rico? Hello, no, that's Italian. That's French. And my maid's going to kill me because she's from Puerto Rico. And my best friend, my play sister's from Puerto Rico. Anyway, if you want to reach me, you can dial 347-633-9376. That's the number you can listen to and hear the whole show. Tonight, we are going to take a look at the 10 best places to move to if you decide to relocate or just want to get the heck out of someplace. We're going to start with the 100 cheapest cities in the U.S. based on cost of living and then whittle the list down to the 10 top cheapest cities. I guess that's where all the cheap people live. No, that's not it. But it's a list that was done by one of our associates. I want to send a shout-out to Beatrice or Bernice Hooks, my long, long-time personal friend who has stuck by me for years. And I do mean years. She lives in Fort Valley, Georgia, and this is a diehard fan of Don S. McClure. And one day, I will have to tell you the story behind our close friendship. I mean, this girl is a ride or die. She's a close friend of mine. I want to send a shout-out to Michelle Anderson, who it's her birthday tonight. She's another good friend. She lives in Detroit, Michigan, in the suburbs, and today is her birthday. So happy birthday, sweetie beady, and all that other good stuff, and enjoy it. We have a strong friendship, and I promised I would play the song by Gato Barbieri. It is a song that has her name in it, Michelle. And the title of the song is She is Michelle. And she heard me play that one day, and she really enjoyed it. So I will get a chance to play that song for her and say happy birthday, Michelle. And I want to send a shout-out to Yashti. I always get this girl's name screwed up. It's Yashti, Y-A-S-H-T-E-E, and that's a beautiful name, in Orlando, Florida, who is an amazing young woman and a very special person. She has stepped up and gone beyond to give me her support, and now there are two of my books on the way by priority mail to her door, Broken Wings, Fallen Angels, which is my true life autobiography, and Dark Side of the Earth, Demons and Angels at First Glance. We have the best conversations about life, philosophy, and that amazing view of the world of art. I just can't get enough of talking about art. And to Rhea in Boston, Mass area. She is a real rare jewel, what I call a blue rose, who is celebrating her birthday, and I have, God, it's too much tea, and I have her committed support for my books and all that I do and want to achieve, and I treasure that support. And a shout-out to her parents. Check this out, who are 92 years old, and they're still together. That is so loving, sweetie beady, and we got to send a cheer for them. Yay! 92 years. Man, that's a long time, and I'm glad to hear that. I want to send a shout-out to Jerry in Chicago, who is truly an advocate for what I do. She's one of my greatest supporters of my creative side. She adds a light of spiritual guidance to my life. And my pastor, not my pastor, actually my priest, he always says, you need some spiritual guidance. He always tells me to say 10 Hail Marys full of grace. That's too much tea that I'm drinking. And I want to send a shout-out to DJ Keith Hill. Congrats to him and his new bride. And from what I understand, she is absolutely beautiful inside and out. And they just got married. So that's, oh, man, dun, 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 dun. Anyway, and to that PR lady in Oklahoma, Miss Stephanie D. Moore, a new friend on Facebook. And that lady is cutting up in the Oklahoma area, and she's great in public relations. And the last shout-out to my best friend, Anthony Stevens in Chicago, and to Mina in Salem, North Carolina, who's a new fan and listener, and now watch me screw this name up, Habiba Pasha, who I finally met at the speakers meeting the other night in Chinatown. And, you know, when I was there, I was trying to find the library, and I pulled up and talked to this Chinese lady that had a little girl with it, and I said, excuse me, ma'am, can you tell me where the library is? She said, me no English. And I said, well, ma'am, library, can you tell me? She said, oh, library, over there. And I said, thank you, ma'am. She said, thank you. And I said, thank you. She said, thank you. And I said, thank you. She said, thank you. And I said, look, ma'am, thank you. Goodbye. And she said, no Chinese food? And I said, no Chinese food, library. But anyway, really nice lady. And Chinatown's really beautiful in Chicago. So I just had to tell you that because I really enjoyed being at this meeting. And Habiba asked me if I could be her mentor. And I said, yes, of course, the great Don S. McClure. And I want to send a shout-out to all my fans and supporters and family on Facebook and off of Facebook, and I thank you so. With all that said, let's start the show with a quick PSA and the announcement about my books, and one more thanks to Joyce White, who is joining my production team in the voiceover department, allowing me to continue to grow in creative productions. That's a heck of a lot of people I got to say thank you to. So we're going to get this show rolling. My lights are lit up, the boards are blue, and people are listening to my show all over the country. So let's get it started on a Friday night. It is 8 minutes into the show, and we're going to start off with To Have a Friend, which is my book that Wes did a commercial for, and he sounds so great. And then we'll play a quick PSA, and then we'll get started with the show. So have a great Friday.
To Have a Friend, one of the best crime thrillers ever written. In this amazing new drama, Joey is the brilliant and fascinating underworld figure every prosecutor, law official, politician, and other rising crime figure love to hate. It's up to him to keep his friend and his friend's family safe and uninvolved in this plan that he knows will destroy everything the loving couple have worked so hard to build.
Oh, and I just love when he says that. That just makes me sound like a real Hollywood guy. We're going to start the show off with I'm So Excited, because I am excited to be here. Man, I am on such a natural high. I've been drinking so much tea, and my producer is waving his fist at me like, get started. And my maid is coming by. Some people say, dang, your maid hang out a lot with you. Anyway, I'm so excited because I'm excited to do the show. And then we're going to get into the show and talk about our three subjects for tonight. Oh, man, you talking about a track. And when I played that, my producer's wife was like, "Ooh, girl," she said, "Don, I'm about to lose control." I said, "Yeah, I know what you mean. Man, that's fire. Have you ever listened to the words in that song?" She said, "I'm about to lose control, and I like it." And I like that. I'm always losing control, even when I'm out in the street. You're listening to the best show on the Internet, Don S. McClure, the one and only. And, man, I am fired up. I think I must have had a Snix candy bar or something. I am on fire. Tonight our subject is optimism, the basis for assumption, and having a pessimistic view of life. And we're going to be talking about that in our tracks. We're also going to be talking about the theory of grandparenting. And do you know a young lady actually on a phone conversation, we were doing a consultation, she hung up the phone in my face and said she broke her phone because I didn't agree with her. So I'm about to tell you about that. That's on my emails. But we are definitely going to have a great show tonight. And again, I want you to get your pens and papers. We got a new track artist we're going to be listening to called Carly Rae Jepsen, J-E-P-S-E-N. I thought it was Jessup, but it's J-E-P-S-E-N. My producer says, read the names right, read the names right. And we were partying in here tonight. I mean, it's on fire. But anyway, optimism, the basis for assumption, and having a pessimistic view of life. And you know what that means. So we're going to talk a lot about that tonight. We've got a great show. Like I said, I'm looking at these blue lights on my board. They are from all across the country, and I like that. I mean, that's just, I'm excited. Are you excited? I'm excited. That sounds like me and that Chinese lady. Oh, man. Anyway, what we're talking about tonight is getting things together. So we want you to think about what your views are, and you don't always have to agree. But I'm also going to tell you what the dictionary says about these words, and then I'm going to tell you my theory. So we're going to talk about optimism, assumption, and having that negative, pessimistic view of life, which is not good for you. Now, the dictionary says optimism, a doctrine that this world is the best possible world, an inclination to put the most favorable construction upon actions and events or to anticipate the best possible outcome. So that's where you're being optimistic. And, of course, we all want to have a better world, better place to live, more money, better life, the dog, the cat, the house. Actually, I'd like to have a butler instead of just a maid. And maybe even a driver, but that's what an optimistic view is of your life. So it's kind of like looking at it, where you want to go, how you want to do it, and not letting anybody get in front of you, just like it was optimistic of the last song we played. She was like, "Look, I'm so excited about being with this guy, and I'm about to lose control." And it was a good song. So, and it's by the Pointer Sisters. But that's what optimism is, and I want you to look inside yourself and think about that. A doctrine that this world is the best possible world that it could be, meaning that most of us should know, or hopefully most of us know, that the world's no perfect place. It's never going to be perfect. You're never going to have a perfect outcome because there's such things as storms. But what you can look at, if you have that optimistic view, like I look every Friday, I get such a thrill out of coming on the air to do my show. And I know there's thousands and thousands of people listening to my show and getting my books. I mean, I love that. Tomorrow I'm going to be at the Fan Feast, and it's all the race car drivers, and we're going to be out there promoting cancer. And I have a table with my books on there, and I've been invited by this large corporation called the Kroger Food Stores. So I'm going to be there tomorrow from 10 o'clock till 5, and I'm optimistic that I'm going to have a great time. I always do have a great time. I was just in a store and called Family Dollar, and I was getting some stuff for the thing tomorrow. And these young ladies, we were talking about my books, and they were just so excited about going on Kindle to get them. So again, when you're optimistic, no matter what you go through, you know you're going to have an inclination to put the most favorable construction upon your actions and the events, or to anticipate the best possible outcome. That means that even if you need to get rid of something, you know the best possible outcome is to get rid of it. If you need to save money, if you need to do whatever it is you need to do, you need to take a look at that and make sure that you start developing a strong, optimistic attitude about your life. And I didn't say unrealistic. I said optimistic, because there's a difference. And I want you to think about that. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about our next word, assumption. But I've got to play this PSA, and, man, I'm telling you, this tea that I drink, if you had some of that, my producer said I gave him some last week, and his wife made him leave home. He was just that excited. Oh, man, that's nice. Anyway, listen, you're listening to the Donis McClure Show on Friday. It is 7:18, and it is the 12th of September. And there is a friend of mine that I just got a note that her birthday is next week, and I won't be on the air. I don't think I'll be on the air on the 16th. So I have to say happy birthday to Lenore Brooks. And happy, happy, happy birthday. Actually, you know, I like calling people and singing happy birthday to them, but I think they hang up on me. I think they just delete my message. I have no idea. And I can't sing. You're going to hear me tonight. But let's get to this PSA, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about assumption.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh! Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today.
And we're back, and I love that track. I just love the guys from Chicago. And I want my fans, I want you to get your health checked out. I don't want anything to happen to you. I definitely want you to live to be like Rhea's parents, 92. I know I'm going to live to see Noah. Actually, I'm going to try to hijack his boat and take it away from him. But I think there may be some animals on there that may not like that. Two by two, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, listen, we're talking about assumption, and we're getting you ready to understand what's going on. Now, there was a lady we talked about last week named Linda Creed, who's from Philadelphia, and she was a dynamic songwriter. The track that we're going to play, Mary J. Blige is singing. But Linda Creed died of breast cancer, and she died at 37 years old. But she had a fantastic life, and even while she had that, she kept being optimistic about her views about where she wanted to go in life. And she wrote these great songs that people are still singing. And her family got together, and they started a cancer foundation. So I promised I'm going to try to also start getting involved in that. And it's called the Linda Creed Foundation in Philadelphia for Cancer. And they really do a great job. So while we're thinking about supporting the American Cancer Society and all the other things, let's also look at something that this young lady who wrote great songs, there was a foundation created in her name, and that's a great thing. Now, the track is called You Are Everything, so that's still part of our optimistic point of view because we want you to be optimistic. And I know when you find that guy or that woman that you love or like or think it's just, I'm so excited, then you sing songs like, You Are Everything and Everything Is Me, Don McClure. No, okay, all right. Anyway, let me play this song. And my maid just walked in. We're supposed to be going out, but we're not going nowhere tonight. She wants to go to this Puerto Rican club that we hang at. But I can't go. It's cold outside. So let me play You Are Everything by Mary J. Blige and keep that optimistic view in your head first before we get to assumption.
Yeah.
are my everything. Now, that was written by Linda Creed. So what I was talking about last week, a lot of times, and it's nothing wrong with that, we give a lot of credit to the singers, but you actually got to look at the writers. Here's a young lady at an early age, between 26 and 27 years old, develops breast cancer. You can't get any more optimistic than she was to believe that's not the end of her world. She fought that, lived to be 37 years old, and wrote the greatest songs in the world, working with Tom Bell, the Philadelphia Sound, Kenny Gamble, Leon Huff is who she worked for in the studio, and we got a couple other tracks we're going to play produced by Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff. But the thing is, being optimistic. Don't let the people that are negative thinking take away your optimistic point of view, and don't let them make you think that it's something terrible, that it's something that you shouldn't have. It's like people will come up to you and say, why are you always so happy, Don? Because it's a good world for me. I'm doing what I like. I'm enjoying my life. And I understand it won't be a perfect world. But it's going to be a great world because for the simple reason is I open my eyes in the morning. So what we're talking about is not being unrealistic, but being optimistic about your views, your passion, if you want to write, if you want to become a painter, if you want to become a photographer. It has nothing to do with age, has nothing to do with anything but your desire. And if you have that desire, you should latch on to the word optimistic and don't listen to all these people constantly telling you about, well, I don't know, that may not be good. It may not be good for them, but it's good for you. So if you find anybody that makes you happy, be optimistic about that relationship. If you find that job you like, you become optimistic about that. Even if you find some cookies that you like, be optimistic that they're going to be good. I know I like to eat a lot of cookies, so I had to kind of watch that. But again, I want you to think about being optimistic because that's important to you. And we talk about that every week. We talk about different words. Well, tonight the word is optimistic. If you want to reach me, you can listen at 347-633-9376. That's the number to key in to hear the great one, the new emperor. I told you when I come into the studio, it's like hearing Caesar. No, that's the kind of stuff I grew up with. But anyway, my producer's like, yeah, you think you're Julius Caesar. I said, I know. He has to bow to me when I come in. That's amazing. But anyway, if you want to reach me by email, send me a note at McClure.Don@yahoo.com or all my other darn emails that I got out there. And my show is growing. We're getting new sponsors. And actually in January, we're picking up Panera Bread. I go there and eat all the time, and they're going to be a sponsor of my show. So that's so sweetie beady. I must be really good. I think I'm the greatest man in the world. What can I say? Cut that ego out, Don. That's God talking to you. Anyway, listen. We're going to get into the word assumption. Now, there's a track by Tom Bell that he wrote. And it's called Trying to Make a Fool Out of Me. And what the guy is talking about, he says to his girlfriend, I think he's trying to make a fool out of me. And I'm not assuming this stuff, but I think I am. And we're going to talk about that word assuming. But it's by a group called the Delphonics. Now, for some of you young bucks out there, it was probably after your time, I guess. But we were really dancing on this kind of thing and doing our thing. And it was really, really a good time. So when they wrote this track, it was by, like I said, a group called the Delphonics, and they had that high singing voices and all that good stuff. But the song was written by Tom Bell, and he was telling the girl, hey, I think you're trying to make a fool out of me. He said, I love you and I'm into you, but I'm assuming that, you know, something's going on here that I'm not getting it right, and I think you're going to dump me pretty soon. And I was like, oh, man, that's terrible. That is really that's really bad. But anyway, that's the track that we're going to play. It's by a group called the Delphonics, and they were really, really a popular group. I mean, like I say, some of you young bucks probably don't know what that is, but I'm a young buck myself. But anyway, the Delphonics are a pioneering Philadelphia soul singing group. They were popular in the late 1960s, and some of you were just born then, and early 1970s. Their most notable hits included La La Means I Love You, which was written by Linda Creed, Didn't I Blow Your Mind This Time, Why You Want to Break Your Promise. Man, they wrote a lot of songs that the girls were dumping guys. I'm Sorry, and Ready or Not, Here I Come, Can't Hide Love from Me, I guess. Their hit songs were all written by songwriters and producers Tom Bell and lead vocalist and founder William Hart. And their songs, check this out, their tracks have been used extensively now. I said the word extensively in film soundtracks, including Quentin Tarantino. And I just watched him last night on an interview, and it was just amazing. Those are the kind of guys that I study, but Quentin Tarantino did a film called The Seven Samurai, and they turned it into America. They called it The Magnificent Seven. So that's just a bit of trivia. But anyway, let's get to this track written by Tom Bell, where this guy is assuming, and he's assuming, that his girlfriend's trying to make a fool out of him. Every time I play that song, I crack up, man. But anyway, let's listen to the Delphonics, and we're going to talk about assumption. I guess he said, man, you trying to make a fool out of me. I don't know. I don't know what that one was all about. I hope it was an assumption, but he said, you're trying to make a fool out of me, man. That song just got in my head, and I just had to play it. Anyway, assumption, a taking to or upon oneself the assumption of a new position, the act of laying claim to or taking possession of something, the assumption of power. So I guess he was assuming, hey, I know what's going on. And sometimes assumption can be arrogance and pretension. Now, I didn't write that. The dictionary put it in there, and they said, and assuming that something is true, a fact or a statement as a proposition, to postulate or notion, taking for granted, the taking over of another's debts. That means you're assuming that you say, hey, I'm going to take these over when somebody leaves this earth. But again, Assumption sometimes can be arrogance because you may be assuming something that isn't true. I know when this lady was talking to me about grandparents and we had a discussion, she got so heated because she assumed something about the conversation, and she had it all totally wrong. And I was like, hey, look, I really don't care. You're asking me for advice, but we're going to talk about that. But assumption is something that gets a lot of us in trouble. We assume that the person doesn't care. We assume that we're going to be fired. We assume that we're going to lose everything in life. We wake up sometimes in the morning with an assumption that it's going to be a bad day. And that's how we get a headache. So you really got to be careful about your assumptions and even about your friendships. You can't just assume that they're going to go bad. You can't assume that everything's going to end up being sour. I mean, again, take the example of Rhea's parents. They're 92 years old. A lot of us assume sometime a long time ago people wasn't even living long, but people are living to be 100. Like I said, I'm going to be around 740, 900, maybe even 2,000. Who knows? I'll see some dinosaurs. But the word assumption, that how often you do that. Somebody will say something good to you and you assume they're trying to use you or they're trying to misguide you, or what's that theory, that red flag theory, they got something up their sleeve. All those are assumptions, and they're bad to have going into anything. You can't assume that you're not going to get the job because then you won't get it. You can't assume that you're never going to get married or you're never going to have a baby or any of that stuff. You have to assume that, you know what, I'm going to make assumption good in my life. The act of laying claim to or taking possession of. Now, that's what the dictionary says. So take out some of the negative parts of words when you look at them and just assume that, you know what, I can be the greatest that I can be, and stop looking for other people to tell you you're great. Take the word assumption and put it into your own vocabulary as a good part. Remove the bad and say, I assume that I'm going to be the greatest in the world. Whenever I write a book, I assume that it's going to always be the best that I can do, because you know what? I'm optimistic to know that as you write, you get better. Your first book may not be as good as your second book. Your second book may not be as good as the third book. But if you keep at anything, if you keep working at it, take the assumption that you got to become the best at it because you spend more time at it. And even if you lose something, even if you lose a relationship, even if you lose a friendship, even if you lose anything, even your money, your house, your car, assume that the good part is you're going to make it back and become optimistic that there's nobody that could stop you. So those are the two words that we're talking about, a fact or statement as a proposition. I guess become postulate, taken for granted. I mean, just don't take things for granted. Make them work. I find so many people trying to get into the writing industry, and they want to take for granted that just because they wrote a book and got a story, okay, well, how come it's not selling? Because they're not out there working it. You have to work at what you want. So you can't just assume that people are going to buy it because your picture's on the front. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the words that we're talking about. It is 7:40. Our show goes by so fast, and I'm telling you, man, my board is like a sea of blue. One day I'm going to take a picture of it and show you all these phone lines. That my producer's like, man, there's people coming on the show just to hear you talk crazy. I said, no, they're not crazy. We're going to play a track by a young lady named Carly Rae Joseph, and she assumed that she didn't even really have any talent. But her instructor, her teacher, was optimistic that, hey, if this girl gets out there, she could make it. And she became one of the top recording artists in Canada. She's born 1985, November 20th, and she's a Canadian singer-songwriter. She grew up at Mission, British Columbia. Her father used to sing her to sleep with James Taylor songs. Carly made a statement one time. She said her vocal influences included Ella Fitzgerald and Van Morrison. She played with a high school jazz band while in elementary school, performed in high school musicals, playing the role of Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz and The Wiz, and Sandy in Grease. Carly was nominated for Best New Artist Songwriter of the Year in 2010 at the Juno Awards. She came in third place in the fifth season of the Canadian Idol. So doesn't mean you always got to be in America. I mean, for Carly Rae, it was endless luck, little doors opening. She was born, like I say, November 20th. She attended Canadian College of Performing Arts in Victoria, B.C., which is British Columbia, when one of her teachers encouraged her to audition for the Canadian Idol. And on the fifth season, she ended up being ushered by her high school drama teacher to go to the audition. It was one of those things that I didn't ever expect to be the thing that worked, but it really was the first level of exposure she had ever had. She said in an interview, finished third in the competition and was signed to Fontana and Maple Music after competing the Idol Tour. So she didn't come in at number one. She didn't come in at number two. She came in at number three, and now she's on the top tens. Her first single and a cover of John Denver's song, Sunshine on My Shoulders, was released in 2008. Her debut album was titled Tug of War and released 3 months after the singles. The promotional effort for her debut album continued throughout 2009 with the release of her Josh Ramsey duet, Sour Candy. Ramsey was one of the people who contributed to the song we're going to play called Call Me Maybe, where she's being optimistic, but she's also assuming, hey, this guy really wants to talk to me, so I need to get about my business and give him my phone number. And a lot of you ladies out there, when you see a guy you like, give him your phone number. Quit all that chivalry stuff, and he's supposed to get mental telepathy and wait till you decide to look a certain way. Just walk up to him and say, hey, here's my phone number. Call me. And you know what? It might work for you. Or you might get, like, get out of my face. I don't know what would happen. But anyway, just assume on the best part. That's kind of crazy. But anyway, she's got a track called Call Me. This is our featured new artist for tonight, Carly Rae Jepsen. And it is spelled J-E-P-S-E-N. And actually, I like watching this video last night to 3 in the morning.
Maybe. And this is crazy, but here's my number, so call me maybe.
gum. I like that. That's what we call one of the bubblegum songs, man. I kind of like that. Last night I was up to like 3 in the morning trying to load these tracks, and I ran into that, and I was looking at it, and my producer came by. I don't know what he was doing by coming by that time in the morning. And he said, "Hey, have you heard of this?" And I said, yeah, I'm kind of playing it now. Call me maybe. So I said, maybe you should have called before you came by because I'm tired. But anyway, we have a good time. So, again, remember the words that we're talking about. We're trying to tell you to really think about that stuff and really change the way that your life is if you're unhappy with it, because you have control of it. You don't have to wait on anybody else to change it. You could change it. And sometimes people see stuff in you, like her teacher saw a lot in her, and they were like, you know what? This girl's got talent, and she needs to at least try. That's where most of us go wrong. We won't even give it a second chance. We won't give it a third chance. We go with all that, it'll never happen, and how come I can't do this or do that? And a lot of times we don't listen to the stories that people are telling you. It took them a while. It took Tyler Perry 19 years. It didn't happen overnight. It took Oprah a while to get to where she was. So, again, you know, we want you to think about that. And we're talking about that famous word. The word that we're talking about is assumption. And you find a lot of people do that. They'll walk up to you and they'll say, well, who's your pastor? They're assuming that you go to a church. And I'd always tell them, I say, I got a priest, and he stays on my back all the time. So don't assume that everybody goes to the same religion or everybody goes to the same faith or everybody goes to the same anything. You have to let them be them and you be you. And if the two can meet and you have a harmony, and as long as I guess you both believe in the man upstairs who I talk to every day, and we have some knockdown, drag-down battles, I'd be like, man, I'm not doing it. He's like, Don, come on now. I told you what to do. So, but he's always there for me. I mean, he backs me up 100%. So I don't worry. I never assume that he's going to be there. I'm very optimistic because I do like the doctrine that this world is the best possible world it could be in my world. And that's how I grew up. So I had great parents, me and my mom, very tight. And we're going to talk about abusive relationships in a few, because that's part of the things that we're also talking about. It's related to another word that we're going to talk about tonight. But we want to get that kind of thing straight so that you start thinking much better. And you can make your own decisions. And you don't have to always listen to me. Like the lady hung up on me. She said, I'm not listening to you. I don't care. And I said, okay, bye. So anyway, but you've heard our tracks. And we're still pushing to get donations in. We want you to get my book at www.dsmpublications.net. My newest book is I Love Writing a Fun Love Story. And it is really good. And we're donating $2.50 to cancer. Now we have two organizations, the Linda Creed organization that we want to donate to, and the Children's Hospital in Memphis called St. Jude. And Memphis just got rained out. I mean, it was just terrible. So I want you to think about that for a minute. We're going to play a quick PSA about your light bulbs. And this young kid is asking his grandfather about, did grandma tell you that? And I got a song for him that I'm going to play next. But listen to this PSA. You're on the Donis McClure Show. It's 7:51. And I am having a ball.
It's our last errand today, Jimmy. Just need to pick up some light bulbs.
Whoa, there's so many. Did Grandma tell you which ones to buy?
No, but check out the label on this package. It'll help us find the right bulbs.
Does it really matter?
Well, sure. The new light bulbs use a lot less energy, so we save money on our electric bill by using an energy-saving incandescent, CFL, or LED.
How about this bulb?
Now, let's see. We need to replace the 60-watt bulbs in our bedside lamps. That one is 800 lumens, so it should do the trick.
I've never heard of lumens.
Lumens tell us how bright the light is. The more lumens, the brighter the bulb.
You know, Grandpa, you're a pretty bright guy.
Yeah, you're pretty smart yourself, Jimmy.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov. That's energysavers.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Energy.
And we're back, and you're on the Donis McClure Show, and I want you to check your light bulbs. Make sure you get those lumens. Anyway, I'm cruising down the street one day. It's about rush hour, and I'm playing this track by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. And it's about shopping at a thrift store because he wants to get, he asks his kid or somebody else, can I have your grandfather's clothes? Because your grandfather used to be really hip and in the scene. And I like this track. So the other night when I was thinking about this conversation that I had with this young lady about grandparenting, and she was just off the charts. I mean, just screaming in the phone. But anyway, I want you to listen to this track because I like this because they tried to sell him a T-shirt for $50 that he said, hey, I thought this was 50 cents. So this is like assumption. Again, I want you to think about that. But I like this track, and I like the beat. And a lot of times when I'm in my car, I'm jamming. I'm sitting, oh, well, we won't call it jamming anymore. That's old. I'm tracking. That's what I'm going to call it. I'm tracking, and I'm listening to Macklemore and them, and I'm like, hey, man, I like the do-do-do-do-do-do. And actually, I learned the words to the song. So you might hear me say that. But this is for the grandparent people that people think that other people don't remind themselves or think a lot of their grandparents. And they actually do. What they're doing is saying, hey, your granddad was a sharp guy. So let's listen to this track on the Heist album by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. And you could do the head bop. Actually, I got a new dance that I made up, too, called the hand spin. And I'm going to have to show you that. It's really cool, too, man, because you could do it to this track. But let's get this track going on.
Hey, Macklemore, can we go thrift shopping?
Welcome to the club, like what up, I got a big I'm just pumped, I bought some from a thrift shop. Ice on the fringe is so damn frosty, the people like,
damn, that's a cold ass honky.
Rolling in hella deep, headed to the mezzanine, dressed in all pink, set my gator shoes, those are green drapes and a leopard mink. Girl standing next to me, probably should have washed this, smells like R. Kelly sheets. But it was 99 cents. Copping it, washing it. About to go and get some compliments. Passing up on those moccasins. Someone else has been walking in. Bummy and grungy skimming. I am sensing and flossing and saving my money. And I'm hella happy that's a bargain. I'ma take your grandpa style. I'ma take your grandpa style. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I have his hand-me-down? Velour jumpsuit and some house slippers. Dookie brown leather jacket that I found. Dig it. They had a broken keyboard. I bought a broken keyboard. I bought a ski blanket. Then I bought a kneeboard. Hello, hello, my ace man, my mellow. John Wayne ain't got nothing on my fringe game, hell no. I could take some pro wings, make them cool, sell those. The sneakerheads would be like,
ah, he got the Velcro.
I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up, this is being awesome.
Ow.
I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up, this is awesome.
What she know about rocking the wolf on your noggin? What she knowin' about wearing a fur fox skin? Whoa. I'm digging, I'm searching right through that luggage. One man's trash, that's another man's come up. Whoa. Thank your granddad for donating that plaid button up shirt. Cause right now I'm up in her skirt. I'm at the Goodwill, you can find me in the I'm not stuck on searching in the section.
Whoa.
Your grandma, your auntie, your mama, your mammy. I'll take those flannel zebra jammies secondhand and rock that.
Whoa.
The built-in onesie with the socks on them.
Whoa.
I hit the party and they stop in that.
Whoa.
They be like, oh, that Gucci, that's hella tight. I'm like, yo, that's $50 for a t-shirt. Limited edition, let's do some simple edition. $50 for a t-shirt, that's just some ignorant. I call that getting swindled and pimped. I call that getting tricked by a business. Whoa. That shirt's hella dope. And having the same one as six other people in this club is a hella don't. Peep gang, come take a look through my telescope. Tryna get girls from a brand, man, you hella won't. Man, you hella won't.
Goodwill.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is being awesome. I'll wear your granddad's clothes. I look incredible.
I'm in this big air coat from that thrift shop down the road. I'll wear your granddad's clothes.
Damn right.
I look incredible.
Now come on, man.
I'm in this big air coat
from
that thrift shop down the
Let's
road.
Go, come on.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is being awesome.
Is that your grandma's coat?
Woo, and I was upstairs dancing. And I'm going to pop some tags. I wear your granddad's clothes. I look incredible. I don't know. Hey, I don't wear my grandfather's clothes. But anyway, that's Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. And when I heard that track, man, I was riding, had my hat popping because I got a Blackhawks cap. And I was just assuming, man, I am just too cool. But actually, I like that track when I go out, too. And I got a new dance that I do called the handshake. And it's nice. I'm going to show you that. You're listening to the Donis McClure Show. And, of course, I am the one and only. It is almost 8 o'clock. I told you, we roll. We move. We do everything. I mean, it's just amazing. Tonight, we are talking about those three words. And we already kind of gave them to you. We talked about assumption, and I'm almost out of breath from running upstairs, dancing, doing the knee bend. I don't know if you know what that is. We talked about assumption. We talked about being optimistic or optimism. And now we're going to talk about one of the worst words in the dictionary until we learn how to use it, being pessimistic, having a pessimistic view of life. And that's really kind of strange, man, but we're going to talk about that. I'm going through my notes here so we can pull it up and be right because my producer is like, get it right now, get it right. Pessimistic, emphasizing or expecting the worst with that pessimistic attitude. You know, you run into people, like I said, that they always are looking for the bad. You could say, you know what, hey, have a good day. What's so good about it? It's going to rain. It's going to something. Synonyms, bearish, defeatist. Despairing, downbeat, that's what the dictionary says. Then there's words related to it called cynical, desperate, discouraging, disheartening, unlikely, uncompromising, bleak, cheerless, comfortless, depressing, desolate, gloomy, Jesus Christ, somber, sullen, grim, contrary, hostile, negative. I hope we get rid of that word. I mean, pessimistic brings so many things. But you know what? There's a flip side to this, which amazes me how we don't look for those words. The antonyms are hopeful, optimistic, Pollyanna, and I always call people Pollyanna, or Pollyannish, rose-colored, rosy, or upbeat. So a lot of times we're thinking that a word just means one thing, and actually, it could also mean something else. And what they say in a dictionary, the near antonyms are auspicious, bright, encouraging, fair, golden, heartening, likely, promising, cheering, comforting, reassuring, favorable, good, positive, idealistic. And the last one in the near antonyms, romantic. Now, the synonyms, oh, man, pessimistic. Distrustful, mistrustful, negatives, negativistic, skeptical, suspicious, dig, mock, sardonic, and sardonic is what we used to study in school. It actually came from Baron Sardonicus. Scornful, defeatist, Jesus, ironic, sarcastic, jaded, sophisticated, worldly wise, I don't know how they got to be worldly wise, hard bitten, hard boiled, hard case, hard edged, and unsentimental. Then they say the near antonyms, whoever wrote this got to be crazy, but anyway, they got different things going on. Trustful, trusting, unsuspicious, cheerful, optimistic, positive, positiveness, again, rose colored, ingenious, innocent, naive, unsophisticated, idealistic, impractical, again, romantic, mushy, sappy, and just sentimental. So again, when you think of a word, don't always go with the first thing that you think of. Maybe look up the synonyms or antonyms or near ideas of what the word could mean. Because you might hear a person, like in the movie Shawshank Redemption, he's talking to the warden, and he uses the word "trush." And the warden said, "What did you call me?" And he gave him 60 days in the hole because he really thought he was talking about him, and he explained it to him just like I just went through the words. He explained it to him and said, "Hey, you're being hardcore about this thing that you could get me out of this prison." So anyway, don't always go by just one word or one meaning. Maybe look it up and see what else it means. I always tell people, take some time, get into a private area, and just think things out. And don't always go for the juggler. Don't always go for the first thing that somebody says, "That's what that means." You go like, "Are you sure that's what that means?" That's how I got in trouble in school a lot. I'd always say, there might be something else to that. And it's really helped me out a lot. So I want you to think about that. I want you to get those words. When somebody says something to you, go look it up. And make sure that you get all of the definitions, because your life is important to you. And when you know where you're going, you may not even use the same words. A lot of times you grow in your atmosphere, and different people may use different terms. And sometimes you may hear it and think they're saying something, but they could be saying something good, or they could be saying something sarcastic. But you won't know unless you start to think and actually listen to the way that they use the words. Like I said, I always call people Pollyanna. And I like that term. That means they're upbeat, they're happy, they're cheerful. And I like being around them, and I like talking to them. You're listening to the Donis McClure Show, and I am the one and only Donis McClure. We're going to play a track by Aretha Franklin called "Call Me," which is different from "Call Me Maybe." She's saying, she's talking to her guy, and he's getting ready to leave her, go out of town. She's saying, "Listen, I don't care what time you get there, just call me. Call me the minute you get there." And she said, "Just do that for me." Now, you guys that travel a lot and you girls that travel a lot, instead of saying, "Just call me," at least say, "Text me, email me." But just get in touch with me and let me know you're okay. And they're not checking on you. They're not assuming you're okay. They just want to know. And it doesn't kill you to get in from your girlfriends or boyfriends or guy friends or wherever the heck you've been and just send a text. But listen to Aretha tell him to call me. And this is a heck of a track. So for you young bucks, this is a track by Aretha Franklin.
Taking me with you.
email me. I love you. Email me. Text me. Just text me when you get there. I like that. Oh, man, that's a track. I like that email. And she's talking about those long-distance relationships. She's like, look, it don't bother me you're gone. Just let me know you're okay. So now, guys and girls, change the words. Email me. I love you. And I love you, too. I like that, man. That's a track. You're listening to the Donna's McClure Show. It is 8:09. And if you got somebody you have not talked to, brother, sister, cousin, mother, father, email them. Text them, and then pick up the phone. It's nothing like a voice. I mean, the emails and stuff are okay, but that's technology. It's still nothing wrong with you picking up that phone saying, I love you. I love you, too. I like that, man. That's a track. That's okay. All right. Producer's like, Don, man, put that T down. I got to play this track for Michelle. It's called She Is Michelle. Then we're going to get into this thing that this lady sent me about grandparents. But again, I want you to think about those words we had. And I want you to be optimistic, really. That's the best one. Be optimistic about your life. This is for Michelle. Happy birthday. And it's She Is Michelle. And girls and guys, stop worrying about your guys that's got a lot of friends that are females and the girls got a lot of friends that's guys. Just call them. And stop worrying so much. You know, be optimistic that they're just good friendships. Because I got a lot of those. But again, hey. Let me play this track. Happy birthday, Michelle. She's my bud in Detroit, and she's got a nonprofit organization. So I got to get some people to support her.
Mm-hmm.
you're talking about a track my older brother introduced me to, Gato by Barry, and that is a track actually named She Is Michelle. So happy birthday, Michelle. We're talking about tonight the words that we use in our everyday life, and we want you to do better. Now, there's a report by Andrea N. Brown, and she says, a look at the 10 best places to move to if you're relocating or just want to get the heck out of someplace. They say they started with the 100 cheapest cities in the U.S. based on the cost of living and then whittled the list down to the top 10. This is in a report by Kiplinger, K-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R, a look at the cheapest cities that you want to live in. Now, she also says we have to keep in mind when making up the list, the cheapest places to live aren't necessarily the best places to live. I kind of find that like an oxymoron. She's telling you move to cheap places, then don't do it. Anyway, cities with super low living costs can suffer from high unemployment, poverty, and a lack of services. So, while cost of living is an important consideration in choosing where you settle down, it's equally important to gauge the strength of the local economy and the job market. With this in mind, we set out to identify the most inexpensive cities where you would actually want to live based on economic health and affordability. We started with the 100 cheapest cities in the U.S. based on the cost of living and then whittled it down, and she already said that. To do so, we required that each city have below average living costs, high household incomes relative to the cost of living, and an unemployment rate that's below the national average. That means each state has to be like below what the national average is. It's not all work. She doesn't want you to consider a place that's all work and no play. However, they also look for places that offered residents access to fun. And you know I got to have some fun. Low-cost things to do, but cities with populations below 50,000, they just didn't make the cut. So she wants you to get to a city that's got over 50,000, but they got things for you to do. What we did, a diverse mix of affordable, thriving cities scattered across the nation, from North Carolina to Utah. Take a look. The cheapest places to live aren't necessarily the best places. You already said that. So let's move past this wording right here, because that's kind of like looking at the same thing. All right, number one on the list was Utah, and it was St. George is a city located in the southwestern part of the U.S. state of Utah, and the county seat of Washington County, Utah. It is the principal city of and is included in the St. George, Utah metro area, I guess. Number two on the list was Round Rock, Texas. I think a friend of mine lives out there. One of my best friends, as a matter of fact, near Mesquite. But anyway, Round Rock, Texas made it to me number two. The cost of living was 9.4% below U.S. average. The city's population was 109,000. The median income was 69,998. U.S. median income is 53,000. Unemployment rate was 4.4%. The U.S. rate was 6.1%. Why you'll like living here, the big city salaries and the small town prices. Located in central Texas, about 15 miles north of Austin, Round Rock has plenty to offer anyone looking for an affordable place to live and work. The city boasts the highest median household income among all cities on our list, at nearly 17,000 above. I guess I have to take a look at that. Man, that's Round Rock. Okay, let's go to the next one. Cedar Rapids, Iowa. My sister lives in Des Moines. The number three on the list, cost of living 8.1%, below U.S. average. City population, 128,000. Median income, 52,000. Unemployment rate, 4.6%. While you like living here, it's a haven for well-educated chip steaks. Okay, I guess there's a lot more to Iowa than cornfields and butter sculptures. High on the list is affordable housing. The median home value in the state is $123,000 in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, second largest city. The median home value is $131,000, still about $50,000 less than the national median. Cheap single-family houses, so I guess that's where you want to go. Number four is Temple, Texas, another Texas city. Cost of living, 12.9, below U.S. average. City population, 70,000. $51,000 income. Unemployment rate, 4.5. While you like living here, it's the home to only Macy's between Austin and Dallas. So I guess it's because it's got a Macy's there between Austin and Dallas. I guess that makes it great, I guess. I don't know. I don't always shop at Macy's. That's kind of crazy. But anyway, they say Amtrak's there, all this stuff. I got to look at that again. Number five on the list is Lincoln, Nebraska. And I've been here. Actually, I've been to Lincoln, and I've been to Omaha. I don't know why that's important. Cost of living, 10.3% below U.S. average. City population, 268,000. The medium income is 49,000. Unemployment rate, 3.2%. While you like living here, jobs, jobs, and more jobs. The job market in Lincoln is booming. The Nebraska capital has the lowest unemployment rate of all the cities on the list. And you'll find a bunch of things to do. And it says, let's see, finding a place to call home won't break the bank. Overall housing expenses in Lincoln are 24% lower. On the average, the median household income, or the value, is $142,000, $40,000 less than in other cities nationwide. And the median monthly housing cost for renters is only $700, nearly $200 less than the national median. Norman, Oklahoma, is number six with a cost of living 16.2. Medium income housing income is $48,000. Unemployment rate, 3.7%. That's pretty low. Why you'll like living here, two words, go Sooners, jobs are plentiful, and costs are low in this Oklahoma city. Hey, you know, one of my new fans and new listeners lives in Oklahoma. I'm going to ask her about this because she lives in Oklahoma. See what's going on out there. So Durham, South Carolina is number seven, and it has $245,000, 7.3% below U.S. average. Medium household income is $48,000, unemployment rate 5%. While you like living here, Southern Charm on a shoestring, along with Raleigh and Chapel Hill, Durham is part of North Carolina's Research Triangle, which serves as the hub of the Tar Heel State's biotechnology industry. 4% of the region's biotech jobs are located in Durham. Okay. I had to check that out. I got a friend of mine, Alvin, that lives out there. Number eight, Denton, Texas. Texas got a lot on the list. Cost of living, 9.2, below U.S. average. 123,000 city population, 47,000 is the medium income, 4.6%. Why you like living here? Living expenses won't leave you singing the blues. If you like music, then you'll love Denton, the Texas city located just north of Dallas. Hosts the annual 35th Denton Music Festival and the free Denton Arts and Jazz Festival. It's got some other stuff on there, too. Too long to read. Number nine is St. George, Utah. It is cost of living 8.4%, 76,000 people, $47,000 is the medium income, 4.2% unemployment rate. While you like living here, the great outdoors for less, located in southwest Utah. I have to come back and take a look at that one. Number 10 is Corpus Christi, Texas, and I heard a lot about that. Cost of living 7.9%, city population 316,000, medium income 47,000. Unemployment rate, 4.9%. While you like living here, a bargain by the beach. Hey, now I may check that out. I'm looking for a beach home. Corpus Christi, Texas. And it won't break the bank. It is sometimes referred to as the sparkling city by the sea. The nearby Padre Island, national seashores, miles of shoreline that are ripe for camping, fishing, birding. I can't stand camping. I'm scared of bugs. Birding and beachcombing. Oh, well. Anyway, that is the top 10 list that we wanted you to hear about, and so I guess that's a good thing. We got five more minutes into the show, and I'm going to play this track by Karen White. And I threw that email away. I'm not going to worry about what she said. We'll do that on another show. But it's called Can I Stay With You? And this is really being optimistic and assuming, hey, I like this guy. I never thought I would fall into a guy that I really like. You know, I think the guy she's talking about is kind of like Don McClure. That's a great guy. Yes, I think a lot of myself. Hey, go to my website, get my book. I'm going to play this track, and then we're going to be out of here. It's by Karen White, Can I Stay With You? And she met this guy that she just like goo-goo-eyed about. So my favorite saying for the night is enjoy life. That's all you have. And I'm going to play this track till it goes out. And she's going to come in my ear and say, you got 90 seconds, 60 seconds. And I hate when she does that. But anyway, Karen White, Can I Stay With You? I've enjoyed myself. It's Friday. An hour and a half has gone by. And I hope you stay optimistic about your future.